What's poppin', man? It's Audio Al, and you're listening to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix, right here on YouTube, Spotify, or any of your favorite streaming apps.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. It is the start of season fucking 7. This is podcast number 181. It is, I don't remember how I do these. It is April 23rd, 2024, Tuesday evening, 7:11 p.m. sharp. I fucked this up, but we're just going to keep it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hidden Oaks Overdose Football Fix Podcast. I am one of the lovely hosts, the Garlic Johnson. We are joined, as always, by your other lovely hostess, the Joshua Mitchell. Josh, how you doing?
Darn.
Oh, and you're Didn't supposed to say hi to the folks. Oh, my God. Say hi to the folks out there, Josh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm doing
preseason. Hi, folks. Darn.
We've been off for 3 months. I don't even remember how to make a podcast. We appreciate people that chat along in the Discord. We've had Alan Walters hitting us up this week as we get closer to the draft. Josh, for some reason, has also been in there popping off with spread negativity in a world that doesn't need any more negativity. Josh, we'll talk about that later. But the Discord is a good place to spread anything you'd like to spread. Segment tarts.
Except negativity, apparently.
Well, talent big enough for two of us. Segment start times will be roughly in the description below. We'll see how much I care about that, since this is not a normal pod, but I'll do my best. And thank you at Levi Oki. At Levi Oki Illustration on Instagram is where you'll find all the beautiful art and the beautiful artist behind all of our beautiful art. Josh, what I meant to say, or what I meant to say now, but I said earlier, how you dern. Oh, I'm doing pretty dang good, eh? I mean, our last podcast was, I don't know the date off the top of my head, would have been January something. So it's been a good 3 months, 3.5 months since we last spoke on the airwaves. What's going on in your life, man? Give the people a little update, a little taste of what Josh has been like since our last show.
Oh, boy. Since the last show, I've traveled to outer space 6 or 7 times.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I honestly, that's a lie. But I haven't done much. I think I've been sitting in the exact same spot that we've ended our last show and we're just waiting for this show.
I appreciate the dedication, honestly. That's have you been productive in that time? Do you have a bunch of new segments for next year? And do you have you kind of revamped the show for all the people? Or what have you spent that time doing while you're waiting for the show?
Yeah, I did a complete rebuild from the bottom up. And then forgot to save my Word doc and my computer died.
Oh. I mean, most of the apps, most of the applications these days have like autosave features. So are you sure you didn't
it
just
was a
like...
Notepad?
Why would you be using fucking Notepad?
Because I'm trying to bring back the 90s. And that was the most 1995 thing I could think of.
All right. And I think you've been finishing the basement up. It looks like there's some couch additions. There's been some painting. There's been a lot of things. How's that coming along?
Oh yeah, we've got 2 out of 4 walls painted in our basement, so moving Ooh. Right along. So my mom's job, her like Saturday job, they were shutting down and like moving locations, so they're just getting rid of a bunch of stuff. So we got a couple of rugs. You've probably seen them. We got a 65-70-inch TV that they had that they were just going to throw away. I don't know. We're going to find out whether or not it is usable because it is one of those ones where it's like a lobby TV. So I don't know if it's going to have like, I don't know if it's going to be like Las Vegas and we're just going to have advertisements pop up whenever we turn it on. It's not like an actual TV. So we'll find that out. But either way, I can connect the Xbox to it. So we'll get it to work somehow. But it is also like a 90-pound TV because it's not a flat screen. It's a flattish screen.
flat adjacent.
Yeah, and there's no hardware to hang it. It came with a wall mount, but there's no hardware for that wall mount. So got to jerry-rig it somehow. I think I'm just going to have Kai hold it.
No, I think Kai is up to the task.
Yep, and then, you know, tore his ACL. So that's fun. For the folks that don't know, pets typically don't get pet insurance unless you're a crazy human being that wants to spend like $50-something a month for the potential for an injury and then still have a deductible to pay on top of it. We did not do that. So had to sell a lot of
kidneys.
kidneys. Sold all three of mine.
Jesus.
To help fund that. Turns out I got robbed. Guy gave me the wrong account information. So instead of transferring his money to me, he just transferred just a bunch of used Dogecoin. I don't know how that worked, but it happened.
Used
so.
Dogecoin.
Yeah. Tried to open it, just said Dogecoin. And then it had in parentheses used. So whatever.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Al, yes, the Timberwolves are definitely playing. And so go blue. I don't know. What's their chant? Is it ball? And then the clap. Ball. Clap.
I don't believe so. Speaking of, we are also the Hidden Oaks Overdose Basketball Blitz tonight. And at the end of the first quarter, we have Minnesota Timberwolves up 24-21 against the Phoenix Suns. So shout out to the Timberwolves. They're currently winning right now. They're already up one game in the series. And at the end of the first quarter, like I said, they're up by three. Just had a crazy, crazy little back and forth there at the end of the quarter. But we won't be the Basketball Blitz too much tonight. But we'll have various updates throughout the show. Anywho, anything else you'd like to update the people on in your life, Josh? Otherwise, I got a little bit, then we'll get going into actual football stuff.
Nope, Gar, it's all up to you, bud.
All up to me, yay. Okay, so since January, I sat in my basement a lot. That was definitely if there was a leaderboard, that's definitely what I spent the most amount of time doing, without question. Much more recently, I've turned 30. I have my ears pierced now. I bought a robot vacuum. I don't know. Those feel like the big life events, I guess, in a depressing way. Still extremely single. Saving up for a gold chain. So if people want to donate to the show, you'll be going directly to Garlic's gold chain fund. Because everyone knows I steal all the money from this podcast from Josh. He'll never see a fucking penny. It all goes right to my mega mansion. Sorry, Josh. You have to find out this way. But so if you'd like to donate to the gold chain fund, you know my Venmo by now. Otherwise, yeah, my life's pretty chill at the moment. I don't have a house to finish. I don't have a child. I don't have a wife or anything, a girlfriend, so things are pretty chill. The Daniel Tosh podcast is very good. I watch that religiously every week. That's maybe one of the most exciting things I've done since January. But yeah, that's it. That's me in a nutshell. We've got softball coming up, Josh. I am genuinely happy about softball. It's bringing you know, portions of the hood back together, of course. People like Jesse and Jimmy and Nate and them can't play because they're up in Duluth or surrounding Duluth areas. But I am happy that Megan joined the team this year. You and I have been out there practicing with Coach Brad. Kyle's even out there. I don't know. I'm happy softball is keeping the hood somewhat together, and we start that this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, General Grass himself is captain.
Yeah, we did lose Nikita on the team, unfortunately, but I did nominate her to be all-time snack lady. So I hope you guys should be doing well enough for yourself at this point. Hope you guys have a budget for snacks, team snacks every week.
Yeah, it's going to be the leftover Honest juice boxes from Asher's second birthday party back in October, the sugar-free apple water drink.
Hey, free is free, buddy. I'll take it. I don't care what it is.
All right, and then for a snack, expired mayonnaise packets from the garbage of Subway.
What do you think? How many calories do you think are in a mayonnaise packet?
Oh, depends on the mayonnaise. Is it like Hellman's mayo?
Hellman's, yeah. I'm not going for Miracle Whip. Absolutely not.
Well, that's not mayo. That's
nonsense.
Yeah. But Hellman's mayo, I think it's like 60 to 90 calories in a packet.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just eat 20 of those in a day and you're set. Anyway, should
we? Yeah, then you probably crap out that much calories too, because it's just going to slide right through.
Genius. All right, should we actually start talking about football, Josh? Or do we want to rant about bullshit for a while longer?
Yeah, let's talk.
All right, Josh, let's get into it. Free agency. This is where the Vikings have won all of their Super Bowls of the past 65 years or however long we've been a franchise. And, you know, it never translates to the football season, but free agency and the draft, we win our Super Bowls all the time. But let's talk
except
about the
for 1 year.
Yeah, there's been a couple of questionable years. But let's talk about the Packers first, Josh. Free agency obviously came and went in March. We used to do a little bit of recording, or we used to do things, but we're just like, eh, people don't listen enough the way it is. Let's just go ahead and record one by the draft. So how many things have happened for the Packers since free agency? Who'd you guys gain? Who'd you guys lose? Was there a lot of turnover, or was it just a small couple incidental pieces? How do we feel about the Packers going into the draft? What has happened up until this point? Do you feel good or bad? Let us know.
We lost a few offensive linemen, Josh Neiman and John Runyon. Lost Darnell Savage, who's been a liability as of late. Jonathan Owens, a.k.a. Mr. Simone Biles. And then Josiah DeGuara, who has never lived up to his... I think he had one good play in each year. And then Aaron Jones, kind of the big one that we lost, aging running back. Obviously, fan favorite. Wanted to keep him around. As long as he doesn't go to Minnesota, I'm okay with it. But the big thing, we re-signed Keyshawn Nixon. We let A.J. Dillon explore free agency, only to come running back home since he realized, I'm the mayor of Door County. I can't go nowhere. And then we signed two big-name players, I guess, Josh E. Jacobs, kind of a younger running back. He is most likely going to be a combo of that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones.
Did you say A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, that's how I've been saying his name for like years now.
Okay.
And so Josh E. Jacobs, he's got a pretty good first name. He might actually, I'm hoping that he actually just kind of packs Davante Adams in a suitcase with him, brings him over. But I'm not too upset about that. And then Xavier McKinney, who is one of the top safety additions or like free agents this year, we signed him. So not a lot of moves, but a couple big ones. And then obviously the big one, special teams was questionable for us. So we signed a future 17-year All-Pro Greg Joseph as our kicker.
Dude, Walters could not be happier for you. Walters is the biggest Greg Joseph fan. And I know he hasn't commented on it in the Discord yet. He hasn't released his official statement from... well, Basement Beats LLC, whatever the fuck his company is. Yeah, he is very excited for you. So I guess, I mean, obviously you went through the rundown. First, a smaller question than a bigger question. Obviously, he hasn't played very much the past couple years. He's been banged up a lot. Mystery injury, mystery whatever. Do you finally feel like you're free of Bakhtiari? I know, again, he hasn't played very much. But do you feel like him actually being gone now is like a relief because you guys can take someone and move on and not hope he comes back?
Yeah, obviously Bakhtiari is going to be missed. But when he hasn't been playing, you know, I think it's been like 2 years since he's actually like had meaningful snaps, really. It stinks. I don't think he's been signed by anybody yet. So who knows? That's going to be something. He's going to be one of those vets that signs probably first week of training camp somewhere. Probably going to be Minnesota because it's that pipeline. Green Bay is so much better than us. We should just sign their players. And that's, yeah, so we'll see where he goes. Odds on favorite, I think, are the Jets, though, just because of Rodgers. But yeah, losing him stinks. But like you said, he hasn't even been there for the last couple of years. He didn't play at all last year. So, or he played one game. I don't even remember. It's just one of those things where next man up.
All right. And then, so that was the smaller question. The bigger question would be, again, and maybe you said a couple things here and there as you're going, just kind of listing off the players. How do you feel about it as a Packers fan? Of course, you know, there's homerism in all of us. You and I try our best to be unbiased, but do you feel like overall it was a good free agency? Do you feel like it was, you know, pretty uneventful? Like, how do you feel as a Packers fan? Of course, there's, where it's a long time until football yet, but right now, do you feel optimistic, pessimistic? Or like, how does free agency, does it evoke any emotion out of you all? Does it evoke any emotion out of you at all, or you don't really care?
Well, I mean, as far as just overall like truthiness feeling at this point, safety has been a position of need for the past few years. I mean, we haven't had a good safety since Charles Woodson played safety for us. And so Xavier McKinney coming in, him being a supposed stud, that's kind of a relief. And then Josh Jacobs, yeah, he's, you know, running backs are one of those things where you can kind of pick up whenever. And he's got a price tag on him, but he is, you know, he's shown that he can be a solid running back. 2 years ago, he was the leading rusher. And so him coming in, he's 3-4 years younger than Aaron Jones, same age as AJ Dillon. So it's one of those things where thunder and lightning, now it's a little bit more like rolling thunder and then more thunder. And so we'll see how that goes. And then obviously Greg Joseph is more of a camp leg to give a little bit of competition. And if he ends up on the team, that's great. Like I said, 17-year all pro.
We'll see. That's happened to the last guy we cut. All right. Anything else you want to say about the Pack? Well, let's go over the Vikes real quick.
Go Packers.
All right. So the Vikings, obviously the biggest loss was Kirky Kirk, Kirko Chains himself.
Oh, he gave you a first rounder from Atlanta, though.
Yeah, okay, Ranch, chill, dude. That man, he...
You mean PA?
I don't know where he gets his info from. Like, I never, like, go snoop on his phone, although I could, and just see, like, where he goes. But he's got a couple buddies, like, Hillis. I'll hear him, because the old people do phone calls more often versus us, where we got, like, our Discord server and whatever. So I hear him on the horn every day more recently, because there's been a lot of news, and we're getting closer and closer. But they're always sitting there gossiping, oh, I read this, oh, I heard that. It's like, oh, boy. You guys need to relax. I wouldn't even know what website they're getting from. It's probably, I know PA and some mainstream guys have been, you know, floating things like that, like Florio, but they wouldn't be going to Florio. They'd be going to like Skull Purple Kool-Aid, you know, Randy Moss 1998.com or some bullshit, like the most obscure blog. I'm sure that's where they're getting their news. Anyways. Kirko Chains is the biggest loss for the Vikes. And honestly, like, obviously I was, you know, I try and keep all things as balanced as I can. And because Kirk always got so much fucking hate, I found myself defending Kirk most of the time. And now that he's gone, I don't hate the guy, but I definitely don't feel the need to defend him anymore. I was much more sad when Zimmer left than I was when Kirk left. Kirk was always a business guy. He was always going to be a business guy. Atlanta offered more dollars. He wanted more dollars. So that's where he went. You know, he brought us stability in a time where we hadn't had stability at the quarterback position for a long time. So I will always thank Kirk for that. I do think he has enough talent to win a Super Bowl. I'm not here to try and throw shade at Kirk. I think we could have won with him if things had, you know, bounced our way a little bit better at times, maybe better coaching, this or that. You could argue a million things. I think he is good enough. I think he's above the threshold. But he's gone, and we're moving on. And that's the way it is. I'm not nearly as sad as, like I said, when Zimmer was fired. We also lost to Neil Hunter. That's obviously a tough one. He was a homegrown beauty. Jordan Hicks as of late. Marcus Davenport barely did anything. DJ Wanham, KJ Osborne, Greg Joseph, Alexander Mattison. Bunch of smaller names we lost. But so there's a lot of turnover in the Vikings this year. Huge turnover. We're, for all the losses, we gained Aaron Jones, we gained Jonathan Bullard, we gained Jonathan Grenard and Andrew Van Ginkle and Blaine Cashman, Sam Darnold, aka the Darnold. If people love Donald Trump parodies, just go on Reddit and go look up the Darnold. It's a great subreddit full of hilariousness, and I can't wait for him to be a starting quarterback all year and to see what that sub looks like. But a lot of defensive signing for the Vikings. And pretty much everyone assumes we'll be addressing quarterback in the draft as well. But we'll talk about the draft in a bit. Overall, like I said, a lot of turnover. And definitely the change of an era. We are full force in the Kwesi and KOC era now. The Camcock, if you will. And yeah, I don't know. It's, we'll see. We'll see if this is pretty much the make or break draft for Kwesi. He has to hit on that quarterback. He has to hit on some ancillary pieces. And we'll see what happens, but and then KOC's got to coach him up. But it's just an interesting time to be a Vikings fan, and I can't fully describe how I feel yet. But I, you know, Kirk's gone; it's a new era. This year, I'm assuming, is more of a tank year than anything. I think Darnold's going to start all year, and we're just going to kind of hope and wait and see. So
would they do that with this being technically Jefferson's last year on contract?
Is it Techley's last year? We already had him for this. This is his fifth year.
Well, I guess, yeah, the fifth year option. I don't know. I don't know. Do wide receivers get picked up for their fifth year option? It feels like they always get re-signed before that.
Like, I feel pretty confident the Vikings picked up his fifth year option already. I could be wrong. I'm just pulling that out of my ass, but I'm pretty sure we already picked that up because it's a team option, not a player option. Of course, he could just sit out or whatever if he didn't want to show up or play, but Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback position is one of the most interesting things with the JJ situation. To your point, it's obviously Kirk was the grand vast majority of all JJ's stats. Of course, JJ is massively talented. He did okay this year after Kirk was gone, and once he was healthy again, he obviously got banged up this year as well. But yeah, I've always kind of held that I think JJ wants rings more than he wants money. And so as much money as we try to throw at him, if our quarterback position is shit, I do think JJ could leave. Hopefully we could trade him and get, you know, a shit ton for him. But that's not always how those things go. But yeah, I think I definitely think the quarterback position is a huge deciding factor in what JJ does.
Yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2025.
There you go. we could always tag him, right? That's how the team's trying to have control. But those are speculations for another time. I do think the quarterback is huge in what Jaden decides to do for the future, right? So we'll see. I don't have nearly as many Packers thoughts as you would have Vikings thoughts because you live within the home territory. Anything you've seen or heard that you love or hate of the Vikings this year? Since we have mostly Vikings listeners.
I mean, I hate that you guys signed Aaron Jones. I do know just because he's that locker room guy, and I love Aaron Jones, but it's not a big thing. I mean, yeah, you guys rehauled everything, and so it is very annoying to hear all of the, you know, I'm going to buy my complimentary Super Bowl ring in July here. It's annoying to hear that. I don't necessarily listen to much of the home radio. I do listen to the McAfee show more than anything. I don't get all of the Homer takes, like, but every once in a while, since I do live in Minnesota and I follow Green Bay Reddit and I follow NFL, the Elgo has me in there with the Minnesota Vikings and other like Chicago Bears and Detroit Lions. So it'll pop up as like a everything every once in a while. And so that's where I found out that Range definitely was listening to PA, because it says per PA on the mic via K fan. Oh my gosh, I can't talk. A pick swap of Atlanta's number 8 for Minnesota's number 23 is on my radar. I'm telling you right now, if the Vikings can prove what you did, compromise our ability to negotiate or work with him, this will be unprecedented.
Yeah, PA's lost the plot, dude. There's no shot.
Yeah.
Anyways. But,
and I mean, we've talked a little bit about it. I do think it would be stupid to do that. A pick swap, like, it would be like the 6th and the 7th round of next year's draft. So, All of the hopefuls, the hopiums, and all of that fun stuff, they can keep doing that if they want. But odds are it's going to come up, and you're going to see a whole bunch of salty people on Reddit and a whole bunch of people going, I'm surprised they even gave us that. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. Appreciate your Vikings thoughts. We will move on here. We've had the new coaches bit in our draft pod for years now, and so I just kept with the tradition. But this kind of, I'll preempt this just by saying I feel, and similar to some of the free agent signings, like I feel like, you know, I only really know half the guys we signed. So many of those names are a mystery to me, and similar to so many, like I only recognize half these coaches' names. I feel more disconnected from football than I have in many years past. I don't know if that's a thing a lot of people feel, maybe just part of getting older. Maybe some people are just more tuned in than I am, but obviously we all know Jim Harbaugh, new coach of the Chargers. That's been the huge news. And there's 8 new coaches in the NFL this year, and I'd be surprised if people could name more than 4 of them. Mike McDonald is now the coach of the Seahawks. Don't really know who that guy is. Dave.
He has a farm.
Old McDonald had a farm, that's true. But that guy's been like 36. He's not old. Then Dave Canales. He's the new head coach of the Panthers. I believe he was...
for this year.
Yeah, he's an offensive guy, is all I know. Raheem Morris, that's obviously longtime defensive coordinator for the Rams, Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator. He's now the head coach of the Falcons. Antonio Pierce, he was the interim coach from last year. Most people would recognize that name. Brian Callahan is the new head coach of the Titans. No idea. Jared Mayo, of course we know. He's the new head coach of the Patriots. And then Dan Quinn, he's had a head coaching stint before. He was with...
You got it. Was,
Oh, sorry.
You got it, bud. You got it. I know you got it.
He was with the Falcons. Yeah, he was with the head coach of the Falcons. Okay. He also
spent time. It sounded like you were trying to rack your brain.
No, I mean, he spent time with, I was trying to think of all the teams he's on. He spent a lot of time with the Seahawks. He spent a lot of time with the Cowboys. Dan Quinn's been all around the NFL, and so this is somewhat of a retread, which is interesting. They would go from retread Ron Rivera to retread Dan Quinn, but sometimes there's only so many coaches available, and they apparently didn't want Billy B, so they went with
him. They wanted Dan Quinn, everybody's least favorite gym teacher.
That's true. That's just, like I said, I only recognize, you know, maybe five of these eight names. But do you care about any of those coaches, Josh? Any of the storylines you're most invested in? I know I'm, you know, very much a Chargers fan. I've persuaded you over the years to be more interested than not in the Chargers. You care about any of these new head coaches or no?
No, I'm just curious as to how the Chargers are going to perform when their Gatorade jugs are filled with milk, because that's what Jim Harbaugh drinks.
That's true.
I think the only thing that really kind of interests me is that the Chargers have been talked about as a Vikings trade partner for this year's draft, which we'll probably talk about in a bit here. But then the Vikings were also the team that Jim Harbaugh essentially thought he'd be hired for a couple years ago, and then was not. So there are people, mainly the McAfee show, that has said that there may be a little bit of pettiness and a little bit, yeah, we're not trading with them. So that'll be an interesting take if that's actually true.
That's always possible. They're never, you know, most of that was quiet. Of course, we know we interviewed him. We know he was here, and then we went with KOC instead of Harbaugh. But, you know, there's only been rumors. Like, I don't think Harbaugh's ever addressed it that directly. He's probably just said, you know, I interviewed, they went another direction, yada, yada, yada. So it'd be interesting if that ever comes out in a book or something someday, or if, you know, someone does an interview of how that went down. Because it was kind of, it did seem more shadowy than not of how everything unfolded there. But it's all speculation, really. So that could be true. Maybe we'll find out, you know, that'll be a pivotal detail in what happens on Thursday. But... all right, Josh, as we move on here in between segments, we'll talk about our pre-draft thoughts in a second here, but we'll go back to being the Hidden Oaks Overdose basketball blitz for just a second. With 4 minutes and 15 seconds left in the second quarter, the Phoenix Suns are now up 46-40. This looks like a very chippy game. Right now the court is filled with people. I'm not sure what's happening, so I can't listen to the game. Maybe it's some sort of timeout or there's some sort of foul or something, but the game looks like it's getting spicy and chippy, and the T-Wolves are down at home. This is not good. But all right, back to the football fix. Josh, pre-draft thoughts. So we've been doing our draft speculation for a while now. Again, this is our seventh. We are starting our seventh season as a podcast. We've been doing this shit since 2018. You see I have linked there the 2023 draft, and I don't think we talk about it much, you know, in the off season, because most of our podcasting is done in the fall. Let's go ahead and open that up, and let's talk about how we did last year, Josh. So when we start here and we go through our full round one mock, let's let the people know, let's give them our grain of salt, as is tradition for the show. How did you and I do last year?
Well, we both got the first one right.
Woo!
And then after that, I got the third one right, and I got the rest wrong. But you got quite a few actually right. You didn't necessarily finish doing the draft.
I sure didn't.
And then as far as like position takes based on the pick, because obviously, you know, you never know who's going to trade up and grab something. But as far as a team taking a certain position, I did okay on that. It looks like about a 50%. And so, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say as far as how accurate he drafted. And so that's kind of part of the fun. But yeah.
Yeah, I was, because I opened this up today as well when I was looking at it. I felt pretty good. Obviously, you know, Will Anderson did end up going to the Texans as well. So, I, you know, it should be another point for me. But I was in the wrong position, so I understand why I don't get it. But I was pretty proud seeing all this green over here. Got JSN right, got Luke Van Ness right. I felt pretty good. And so what I was sad that I couldn't do is that I couldn't I have no idea what I did last year. I said my quarter ass opinion. I know this was all truthiness, but I don't remember what, if any, sort of prep I did. So I don't know what I could do to recreate it, and that makes me sad. But yeah, that's just the way it is. So I wish I could recreate that, because I guarantee I'll do worse this year is what I'm all driving up to say. But overall, you feel like we did about a 50-50 job predicting at least the position, if not the exact player from last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, yeah, because it's hard to say, hard to guess, you know, the actual player, because then you got guys like Billy B coming out and taking Cole Strange in the first round with his fourth round draft grade. Now, that wasn't last year, but that was a couple years ago. So I do know that I did pick some players based on their names. And so that's why Osiris Torrance was probably picked based on.
Dude, some people got some cool ass names. Like, we'll get into it. But there's a guy going in the first round on Thursday. His first name is Kool-Aid, dude.
Yep, I know. I know, Gar. I know. And then there's a Ladd McConkey. And yeah.
It's amazing. Anyways, all right, Josh. So again, we have mocked out the first round. But before that, let's just give some general thoughts, because we'll probably want to, once we get into the mocking and we're actually going through, we'll probably want to go quicker than not. But right now, what do we expect to happen during the draft? Obviously, the NFL is in the business of hyping up the draft, right? So every single writer from Ian Rappaport down to bumfuck know what has been speculating in all these different trades, and everyone has to release their mock, and everyone, you know, it's in ESPN's best interest too to pump up all the draft numbers and, you know, draw all the speculation so people tune in and watch. So it's like, oh, everyone's going to trade. There's going to be 15 trades in the first round and this and that. What do you realistically think will happen? Do you think there will be a lot of trade downs, especially, you know, everyone has speculated the Cardinals and the Chargers, and I guess what do you expect to happen on draft night if you had to just give your general vibes? Do you think it's overhyped? Do you think finally where there's smoke, there is fire this year? How do you feel about going into it?
I mean, I feel like, yeah, those teams are definitely in the running to trade down, those two. But it's also like, I think Arizona is all dependent on how the first three picks go. So like if it's quarterback, I think that they are more likely to field an offer. Because teams are going to be desperate to get the next quarterback, because nobody wants to get stuck with a Bo Nix in the first. And so it'll be, you know, they'll field some offers, but it, you know, I think that the minimum price is going to be three firsts, whether it's two this year and next year, or, you know, three firsts just in general, or a stud player and a couple firsts. It's going to be a huge asking price to move up to that fourth spot. Most likely. I do think that, it is going to go QB, regardless if New England and Washington stay in that position. And so it is one of those, you know, this is apparently the year that it's going to be a quarterback heavy draft. There's a lot of depth at the tackle and the cornerback position. So seeing a lot of offensive tackles go early is likely, it is possible, and it's also possible people hold off knowing that there is a little bit more depth. Just kind of all depends. I also think that wide receiver is another deep draft this year, so that I have a couple of runs in mind. I'm looking at it now, and I think I have six going in the first round. I think you do too, though. So
I think I've got six. Yeah,
but yeah, I do think that like once a trade happens, like in that 4 or 5 range, if a trade happens in that 4 or 5 range, then we'll see a few more going. I do think that there are some players that, or some teams that are either, you know, they're in the potential. Like I see Green Bay as a team that's potentially trading up or trading down. It all just kind of depends. And so that is, yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes. Obviously the big talking points for all of the media, the national media this year, has been Minnesota is trading up to the top 5 pick, essentially. And so seeing whether or not that happens is going to be a kind of determine how a lot of these mocks go, because every mock that I've seen has had Minnesota in the top 5, I feel like.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of, you know, a lot of speculation about that. It's been said countless times. And I was trying to update your thing for you. It definitely does look like you have 6 foot receivers going. Looks like I've screwed something up somewhere. It's not super important at this point. But anyways, you were talking about receivers. This is that's just kind of how, you know, I think every wide receiver draft class is going to be deep for the next forever, just because that's how the game, you know, obviously we know football cyclical, eventually things will come back around. But for this foreseeable future, it is a passing league, both at the amateur college level and at the professional level. everyone loves to pass. Everyone loves offense. And with that, you need receivers. And I feel like receivers are going to be in abundance forever. And obviously not literally forever, but that's the era we live in right now, is huge passing offenses. And so it's a deep passing class, in that there's a lot of tackles. There's a lot of receivers. With that, Josh, because there are so many receivers, a trend we've started to see in this past couple years as the NFL has been tweaking its trade rules and trying to make things more interesting, trying to make trades more friendly, we've seen AJ Brown be traded on draft night. We've seen Hollywood Brown be traded on draft night. Do you foresee, probably most likely in the first round, but maybe in some other rounds, do you see any live draft trades for players for picks on draft night? Of course, the biggest speculation right now, speaking of receivers, is the T. Higgins type or the Brandon Ayuk type being involved in some trades still, some trade talks still, as it were. Do you see any potential like that? You know, we've been talking a lot about the top five picks and what it would take. It would take three firsts and this and that. No one's really talking about the Bengals or the 49ers trading up, you know, anywhere near the top five, of course. But do you see any players for picks being traded on draft night?
Brandon Ayuk is probably going to be the one that would shock me the least. But, you know, there's always that possibility of, you know, like the AJ Brown big trade, that one happening. And then last year Hollywood Brown was one. I could see something like that. Like maybe a Christian Kirk gets tossed out there. If Jacksonville has a guy on the board that they really want, although they liked him a lot last year too. So, but you know, one of those like wide receiver twos on a team that nobody's like expecting to be gone. That would be an interesting move. But yeah, Brandon Ayuk, I feel like it's almost essentially written that he's gone, essentially.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, whether or not that's on draft night is all speculation, but it would be interesting to see how much a Brandon Ayuk could fetch. You know, all those trade values are really dependent on the contracts these days for established veterans, and so I don't know what his contract looks like. If it's a very team-friendly contract, of course, the draft or the trade compensation is going to be much higher, whereas if it's a pretty unfriendly contract, you get a pretty late pick, and, you know, fans are always upset, oh, we couldn't get more for Brandon Ayuk. Well, it's really based on the contract these days and the value to the team. But
yeah, according to Reddit, Michael Silver, the asking price is a first in the 2024 draft, and they say that that is too much. Like the executive they spoke to said that that's too much to be asking for. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see if that stays true, or if somebody gets desperate near the middle or end of it and they're desperate for a wide receiver, a team like Arizona or Buffalo, if Arizona doesn't take somebody at four and they trade back, they may be desperate for it. Detroit needs a wide out, Baltimore. So yeah, maybe San Fran will trade for Brandon Ayuk.
You know what? That would be crazy. That would for sure be crazy. All right, Josh, just a couple quick hitter questions before we get into our round one mock. I know that's what all the fans are here for. And by all the fans, I mean Walters, who really digs deep into that college tape. And Walters is the most informed football fan I know. So he is most excited for our round one mock. But before we get there, Josh, we'll just give you two quick over or unders. Of course, most people are talking about the top four QBs. Most people are pretty consensus. There's going to be at least four QBs going in the first round. So I'll hit you with the over-under. Do you think over or under 4.5 QBs will go in the first round? Do we see Bo Nix or Penix sneaking into the first round? Some people speculate in the teens with the Broncos or the Raiders, even the Vikings, depending on the draft goes down. Or some people are speculating you trade in late to the first to make sure you secure that fifth-year option. Of course, we saw the Packers trade up, you know, however many years ago to make sure they secured Jordan Love, which most people I don't think had necessarily a first-round grade on, but he's turned out to be a stud. So, Josh, over under 4.5 QBs in the first round this year?
Over.
All right. And then offensive players, just for your reference point, the record for offensive players in a first round is 19. So I'm setting the over under at 18.5. So you think this draft class will tie or break the record for offensive players in a first round? Or do you think it'll be under 18?
Yeah, I think it has a chance to break that record. So yeah, I'm going to say over.
All right, I'm with you on both overs as well. It seems like from what I understand, and of course I'm not a fucking draft expert, but from what I understand, there's a big cliff in the defense this year. So I feel like there's the top 10 or so guys, and then it gets pretty rough pretty quickly after that for defense, has been what I've heard from the so-called experts. So I think teams will make sure they get their top guys. Then after that, they'd much rather, you know, take some higher tier players in the offense. So I'm with you there. All right, Josh, without further ado, should we go ahead and mock out the round one here?
Yeah.
All right, and so where did you come up with, so before we officially start, it looks like you came up, I don't know if you gamed this out, if you found this on Reddit, but you have an official scoring system this year. We didn't have anything quite so official ever before, and so I'm hoping if this goes well for you and I, we can turn this into like a group betting thing for the Discord and the little Hidden Oaks community, because we, you know, I do the playoff brackets and we obviously do fantasy football. If we can start getting people into the draft, as you can see, this as a game we play with everyone in the coming years. So again, did you come up with this, or where did you find it, and what's the system? Break it down.
I kind of came up with it. Yeah. So like I stole pieces of it from one and then added it to another. But the essential breakdown is if you get the player and the pick right, that's 4 points. If you get the player and the team right, that's 4 more points. If you get the team and the position, that's 2. And if you get the pick position, that's 2. So example one, if you predict Chicago to pick Caleb Williams at 1 and he is drafted by Chicago at 1, you get 12 points. 4 for predicting the player and the pick taken, 4 for the four for him going to the specific team, 2 for the position match, and then 2 for the pick number matching. Example 2, you predict the Chargers to take Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5 and they take Malik Nabers at 5. You get 4. 2 for the team drafting the position of the player predicted and 2 for the position being drafted at the pick predicted. So other examples, like if they trade back and then they still get Marvin Harrison, but it's like pick 7, you would get never mind. It would still be 4.
It's okay. I mean obviously,
yeah, so we'll see how it is. It's you know, it's a different thing because I felt like we should be able to put numbers on it, and yeah.
Yeah, given, I mean, obviously you want to value accuracy, and you know, I think it's very similar to the playoff bracket I do every year. Like I don't sit there and write down the rules every year. I don't think half the people even realize I have a point scoring system involved in the playoff NFL playoff bracket thing I do every year. But it's like essentially everyone's just trying to do their best. You're not, you know, there's no way you're gonna try and game it and be like, oh, if I get these picks right but not these picks right, I'll get this amount of points and maybe I'll win. No, you're just trying to do the best you can. So really just go through the first round, predict it the best you can with the team and the position of the player. And the points only really matter if two people are really, really close, right? So it's like, you know, I imagine if someone really nails the draft between you or I, or maybe we get Walters or Al to play or something, if someone really nails the draft, they're going to win hands down. And the scoring system doesn't really matter just because they're so accurate. The points only really matter when it's really close. So don't get caught up. If you're listening and you're thinking about participating, don't get caught up on the point system and the scoring. I appreciate Josh for putting it together, but really it's like you're just trying to predict the best first round you can. It's not that material unless we're all really close. So with that, Josh, are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, Josh, we'll go every other, starting with you since you're on the left of the sheet here. And we'll just go, obviously, the pick number, the team. It looks like, I'll just say this now, because it doesn't look like really anyone predicted trades between the two of us. I guess I have one in there. So we're pretty much just, we at least how we have mocked it out, we're not really mocking trades. Is that correct? Or do I just not see yours?
Yeah, no, I didn't mock any trades in mine, just because it's like, I saw one scoring system where if you predict the trade, you get like 20 points for it. And I was like, you know, that's cool if you could predict a trade, but I'm not going to take the time to figure it all out. So I do think that there'll be trades. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, 4 or 5 is probably a safe number to guess, if not more.
4 or 5 but, trades?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay.
Tip mainly towards the end. I think, isn't that kind of like, there's usually 4 or something like that. And but yeah, so we'll, yeah, starting off, I think the obvious choice for a lot of everybody, experts, including us, because we are an expert, we have a podcast, Caleb Williams.
7 seasoned podcast, let the record show. I also have Caleb Williams going 1 to the Bears. Obviously, that's a slam dunk for everybody. You also have expert 1 written here. Do you want to reveal who the expert is? Or should we read off their pick just as a reference point, or should we just go you and I here? I see you put it in, so I'm not sure what your intent was.
Well, I did notice that I had quite a few match up with this expert. So I'm not sure if I want to reveal that it's Mel Kiper or not. But,
was it Mad Mel or Real Mel?
Real Mel.
Oh, Josh, you idiot.
Yep. But, yeah. I only put it in there because I wanted to make fun of him.
All right. So we'll just go you and I, and then if people really want Mad Mel's, we can release it, or they can just Google it for themselves. Anyways, Josh, second round, we'll go Snake right here. Washington, you, I, and the expert all agree. Jaden Daniels, you know, a lot of people are going back and forth with Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think the Washington Commanders are going to take Jaden Daniels. Despite the Top Golf controversy, who cares about all that shit? It's just, it's a bunch of smokescreen season, as they've been saying on the Pat show for a while. I think Jaden Daniels is going 2 to Washington.
Yep. 3, another overlap for everybody. Drake May, quarterback, New England. I do think that they have a thing for the whites at quarterback, and I think that they're going to stick with it.
Even with Billy B out of town, you think Jared Mayo is still going to go with the whites?
We all know Robert Kraft is pulling the strings.
All right. In the fourth round here, Josh, you and I both have Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals. Pretty boring first four picks. I almost put in Malik Nabers here just because I thought, well, maybe they want, because Marvin Harrison is just the most well-rounded. Malik Nabers might have, you know, if he has one trait over Marvin Harrison, it's that burst, it's that initial acceleration. I thought maybe they'd just want, with Kyler Murray, they might value a speedy guy just a little bit more. But Marvin Harrison Jr. has the potential to be a generational talent. So I assume that's why you and I both put him as the first wide receiver off the board going to Arizona.
Yep. Yeah. And I had him going to Arizona. But I also, if I were to mock a trade, one of them would have been the Chargers moving up to grab him. But, you know, moving up that one spot, I don't know if they'd be willing to give up that much. So moving on to pick 5, I have the Chargers taking Malik Nabers, who is kind of the next, who's tier 2, but not really. He's still a tier 1 wide receiver, just against Marvin Harrison. I have the Chargers taking them after they lost 2 of their top guys. They need a wide receiver. So two wide receivers in the top 5 is probably more rare than, you know, the 3 quarterbacks in the top 5 as well. So it's an interesting start. Gar, who did you have?
Yeah, this is where we finally have some dissension here, and I gave the Chargers Joe Ault. He's an offensive tackle, for those who don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe I've got the wrong truthiness on Harbaugh, but Harbaugh feels like a trenches coach, and I think Harbaugh's going to want to make sure those trenches are fucking secure. So I have Harbaugh and company taking Joe Ault, offensive tackle, at the 5th pick. No trades for either of us, like we talked about.
Yep.
I got it. Moving on, Josh, to the New York Giants again. I have them taking Malik Nabers. You had him going 1 pick earlier. I have New York Giants and Brian Daboll rolling at least one more year very confidently with, quote-unquote, very confidently with Daniel Jones. I think they'd much rather get a super great receiver here and try and become more attractive for maybe a free agent quarterback or something if they move on from Daniel Jones after this year. But I have them taking the number 2 receiver off the board in Malik Nabers.
I have them taking J.J. McCarthy. He's one of the quarterbacks that is in the trade talks as far as people moving up to grab after or in that top 5 range. I do think that they stick with, or they go with the quarterback to hopefully provide that motivation, that Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers, to get Daniel Jones back on track so his eyes stop bugging out. but then crazy. They also have that safety valve, like, okay, we drafted our quarterback of the future. We can let Jones walk after this year with his contract. And then, you know, hopefully, because I do think that they have the feeling like if Jones performs mediocrely, they're not going to be a high enough draft pick to get a guy next year anyways. So they're going to have to get somebody this year to either ride the pine or provide that, you know, comfort for the future. Next, I have Tennessee. I have them taking an offensive tackle, Joe Ault. So a couple picks after you had him go. Just, you know, kind of the consensus number 1 tackle right now.
Yep, and I also have them going tackle. I think the Tennessee Titans are going to take, I guarantee I'm going to butcher this name, Talese Fuaga. No idea how to pronounce that name accurately, but more than welcome to happy to put in the chat if people aren't familiar with this prospect. But because Joe Ault was already gone, Tennessee Titans, they are in desperate need of a tackle, so I'm giving them the 2nd tackle off the board. Moving on to number 8 at Atlanta, Josh, the Atlanta Kirkos now. I have them taking Dallas Turner. He's an edge rusher, I think technically a linebacker, but I didn't feel the need to differentiate between D-end or OLB or whatever. I don't really care what's this in the running. He's there to be an edge rusher. I think Atlanta has been boosting that offense for quite some time. They've got Drake London. They've got Bijan Robinson. They've got Kyle Pitts. They now have Kirk Cousins. It's finally time for them to address the other side of the ball. I have them taking Dallas Turner as the best defensive player in the draft class.
I agreed. I put Dallas Turner as well. I think that they need to bolster up that defense because they have been focusing on offense. They have a quarterback that can kind of cover some of the blemishes they have on that offense, which might be like a wide receiver two position, but they have a lot of skilled players. So yeah, they should focus on that defensive side of the ball. Moving on, we got Chicago with their second pick. Having addressed quarterback in the first pick, I have them taking Rome Odunze, wide receiver. He's kind of one of those, I guess he's a speedy guy. And so I think that I'm trying to think, who do they even have as a wide receiver? DJ Moore.
Keenan Allen.
Oh, yeah, they did just sign
Darnell Mooney. I think still. No, he's gone.
But they do have, they have Tyler Scott.
Oh, wow. Big name.
Yep, Scott Stotts. But yeah, I have them taking Rome. And that's going to be that influence from that algo that on my that algorithm on my Reddit, because that popped up. The Chicago Bears subreddit says if Rome is available at pick 9 and we don't take him, we riot. And so, yeah.
Yeah, have we ever, who doesn't love a good armchair GM? Most people have Rome going here at pick 9. This is a truthiness pick, Gar's intuition, whatever you want to call it. I think that Chicago should feel pretty secure in their offense for now. I had them going defense as well, just like the Falcons did. I have them taking Jared Verse or Verse, not sure what his last name is or how it's pronounced, but another edge rusher.
It's pronounced taco.
Yeah. I think that team is going to want some defensive studs as well, and so why not plant your flag? You're going to get your quarterback of the future. You're going to want your leader of the defense of the future right there as well. They just got, Jalen Carter last year, I want to say, or whoever. They got a big defensive tackle last year, and so why not keep beefing up that line with Jared Verse.
Moving on to Sweat.
What's that?
In the trade for Sweat?
Maybe that's what it is. Jalen Carter, I think, went to the Eagles. I'm getting my players mixed up. Doesn't matter. They got a big-time defensive tackle last year, so now they're getting an edge rusher this year is my point. Moving on to pick number 10 with the New York Jets. I have them going tackle as well. It's a tackle deep class. This is my third tackle off the board already. Another name I'll butcher. This is Troy. Got great on the first name. Troy Fatuna?
Fatuna? Wow.
Fatuna. excuse me. I have them taking a tackle as well. A lot of people, actually, I'll let you say your pick, and then I'll say what I was going to say. But I have them taking a tackle. Got to keep Rodgers upright.
I had them taking Brock Bowers, tight end. He is essentially a second tackle. He's another weapon for the Rodgers. And so I do think that he made a visit and Rodgers is really impressed with him. And New York is going to want to keep Rodgers around for a little bit longer before his Minnesota stint. So I do think Brock Bowers is their guy.
Yeah, and before you move on, I just want to say a lot of people have Brock Bowers going here just because of that need for the New York Jets is a little bit higher than most teams. What I find interesting is that I think if Brock Bowers doesn't go here at pick 10, I think Brock Bowers could fall quite a bit, and it's not his fault. You know, if that doesn't make him any less talented, it's just based on team needs and who comes up and this and that, and teams having much bigger needs. So I think if Brock Bowers doesn't go here at 10, I think Brock Bowers could easily fall into the 20s, which is a very interesting draft day for him. That's all I wanted to say. I think that's just an interesting pivot point in the draft to see what the Jets do and how that will severely impact Brock Bowers' draft pick. But you go ahead.
I think he would go to someone like Seattle just a couple picks later.
It's possible.
Because don't they only have Noah Fant?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, I'll be honest.
Okay. Moving on, Minnesota. this is going to be a pick that I'd actually said this in the Discord before I actually did my mock, and I said that they'll take a corner, and that's who I have them taking, Quinyon Mitchell, who's the top corner in this draft. It's a position of need. They only added one in free agency, and I think they only had zero on their roster last year.
Whoa, so, dude, disrespectful to fucking Byron Murphy, dude.
Who?
You make me sick.
Didn't Jordan Love throw for 700 yards on that guy?
I really don't know.
But yeah, so I had them taking Quinyon Mitchell, kind of shoring up that pass defense on their side of the ball. They focus on the pass rush. Now they got the pass defense, mainly because they're, you know, they saw the quarterbacks going early. They're not going to pull a Ponder 2.0, reach for somebody that they, you know, they don't necessarily love, and then they will hold off on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, it's definitely possible. I think if the, I think as your mock breaks down, if the four quarterbacks go before the Vikings get to pick, I definitely think this first pick, if it's not a trade back, I definitely think Kwesi could trade back here at 11. I think it will be a defensive player. Anyways, I have, just on how my mock fell out, I do have J.J. McCarthy falling to 11. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying if J.J. McCarthy is there at 11 and the Vikings are picking at 11, they for sure are going to slam dunk on J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he's worth trading up for personally, but if he's there, we will take him without question. Just to take a little bit more time on the Minnesota pick, just like with you, Josh, I think if J.J. McCarthy is gone by here, I think the Vikings might opt for Byron Murphy instead. He's the top defensive tackle in the draft. I think we would go there instead of cornerback, though I do think cornerback is definitely potential. But I, again, look, you know, who knows how the draft's going to fall out, but I don't think Kwesi would be afraid to trade back here either, and accumulate a couple more picks if all the top four quarterbacks are gone by 11. It's very interesting, and it's interesting because moving on to Denver also needs a quarterback, so there's all these different considerations. Would they reach? Would they not reach? Who knows? But I have, based on my mock draft, the number 12 pick, the Denver Broncos are going to take Tarian Arnold. He is a cornerback. He is my first cornerback off the board, and that's what I have Denver doing. They are not going to reach on a Penix or a Nix. They are going to bolster up that defense.
Yep, I have them taking Tarian Arnold as well, bolstering that defense. They have so many needs that, you know, taking a quarterback isn't setting that quarterback up for success at all. So if they have to, if it's a guy like Penix or Nix that needs that development time, that's not going to be a pretty sight. And so they'd be thinking that he's a bust right out the gate anyways. Plus, didn't they just trade for
Zach Wilson?
Mr. Wilson?
Yep.
So they already got their quarterback of the future. Zach Wilson was the second overall pick a couple years ago. Come on. But I do think that with all of their needs, they are they're going to take a cornerback here, just to start shoring up some of that, and then, you know, maybe 2 years from now they'll have the first overall and be able to get Arch Manning. Moving on to Las Vegas, another team that technically they say they need a quarterback, but we all know they don't because they've got the Minshew himself, along with the minuscule mustached Aiden O'Connell. I have them shoring up their offensive line, help out that no longer existing running game now that they lost Josh Jacobs, and to help their quarterback, I had them taking Olu Fashanu.
All right, there you go. I had them taking the cornerback you had go a couple rounds or a couple picks earlier. I have them taking that cornerback, Quinyon Mitchell. They do have needs. But quarterbacks in my draft have already been taken. Offensive tackles, a lot have gone off the board, so I have them going defense. Even if it isn't their top need, the way my mock fell out, I have them taking the second cornerback off the board. Moving on to New Orleans, I have them taking Rome Odunze. Most people have him going 9 to the Bears. I didn't have that, so New Orleans, one of their biggest needs. Again, I think tackles have been not picked over at this point, but I think they're better off going to Rome. I think his tiering or his draft score, his draft grade, whatever you want to, you know, his prospect grade is much higher than any tackles that are available right now. So I think New Orleans wants to slam dunk on a stud receiver. And so that's why I have the Saints taking Rome Odunze.
I have them going with the tackle, but it's a tackle that you had going up at pick 7 to Tennessee. That is Talis Fuaga. And so I have them taking that tackle, protect Derek Carr. This is also a spot that I would not be shocked if New Orleans is just sitting there and they go, you know what? let's ruin everybody's day and let's take Michael Penix or let's take Bo Nix. Let's take one of those guys who's a first round quarterback. We don't necessarily need one. We've got Derek Carr, but Derek Carr gets hurt thinking about playing sports. So let's just go ahead and get our backup.
All right. Sorry, it's your turn. My bad. Indianapolis, Josh, what do you got?
Moving on, Indy. I have them taking Jared Verse, Edge, who is another guy that you had going quite a bit earlier to Chicago at pick 9, but I have him going to 15, Edge. I mean, there's another team that has quite a few needs. They drafted a quarterback last year who was always hurt. They need a wide out. This is also one of those teams that is in the running for potentially trading for Brandon Ayuk, which would just probably make Pat the happiest Indianapolis Colt on the planet. But I do see them taking an edge rusher in Jared Verse.
Well, Josh, we are agreed in the edge rusher department, but I have them taking a different player. I have them taking Laiatu Latu. He is an edge rusher. He is also an edge rusher. He's in Moana, too. There you go. And that's who I have them taking. So we both agree on position, just different players. And before I move on to round 16 here, Josh, it is now the start of the second half for the Timberwolves game, going back to the Hidden Oaks Overdose basketball blitz. The score is currently 53-52. It is a nail biter here in Minneapolis. The Phoenix Suns are currently up by one, but they've got a player laying on the ground in pain. I'm sure we're going to go to a TV timeout or something. But Phoenix Suns up by one just over Minnesota. Exactly. Moving on to the football, back to the football fix. The Seattle Seahawks at pick 16. We are both in agreement here, Josh. We have them taking defensive tackle Byron Murphy. This guy is without question the best defensive tackle in the draft class. It's not quite a run to the podium pick just because there are many talented players in this class. But if your team has a need on the DL, this is a sprint to the podium pick because this guy is just that talented. That's why we both agree on Byron Murphy. I don't know if you have any additional thoughts.
Nope. Moving on to pick 17, Jacksonville. They are a team that could use a wide receiver after losing... oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank. He was on my team last year. And I'm drawing a blank.
What's that?
Who did they just lose? For wideout.
Was Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, there we go. Calvin Ridley. Wow. I could not think of Calvin Ridley. They lost Calvin Ridley, but I have them taking Cooper DeJean, the very confusing position player, probably thought he was playing safety all of his life.
The first white quarterback in 50
years. 35 years. Yeah. Cooper DeJean. He's one of those guys that kind of sticks out with his athletic ability. And so him being available there, that being a position of need, I do think that they take him because he would be, I think he's better than whatever wide receivers would technically still be available at this point.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. I definitely, as I, you know, I got later in the rounds here, I'm like, ugh, teams can go a lot of places since it's not these quite, it's not quite the blue chip anymore. We're definitely at the second, third, fourth of any given position at this point. I did have Jacksonville going with a receiver. I'm giving them Brian Thomas Jr. I appreciate him having a very simple name to pronounce. Because this next name I'm going to butcher so bad. But Jacksonville, I have taken a receiver, like you said, to kind of replace some of that offensive production. That's a team that had kind of found their groove a bit, and I think they want to continue the trend and see what Doug Peterson can keep doing down in Jacksonville. So I have them keeping that offense stout. Moving on, Josh, to the Cincinnati Bengals. This is another team that I've seen people speculate this could be where Brock Bowers falls to. No one would really say they need a tight end because it seems like Zach Taylor goes out of his way to draw out the tight end of any offensive plays. They've never had a good tight end in the Zach Taylor era. But I have them taking Olumoyawa Fashanu.
Olu.
He is an offensive tackle, and that's all I'm going to say. Cincinnati needs help on their O-line. I have them taking a tackle. Josh, who do you
I had him
for?
Going to Vegas. Yeah. I just put Olu. I had them taking an offensive tackle as well. Probably Olu's cousin, Troy Fatanu.
Fat Tuna, dude. Come on.
Yeah, Fat Tuna. I don't know what's up with all these Samoan or Hawaiian
There's
players.
A lot of big Paulies out there, dude. The Paulies are good football players.
But I have them taking offensive tackle, position need, injured quarterback. It kind of lines up right there. That being said, if T. Higgins gets moved, they may take a wide out at that point. But I going back to that, it's more of a position of need in a premier position as opposed to where wide receivers, you know, they're, you could just throw dart at a bunch of names and probably come out with a potential Pro Bowler like Green Bay does. Moving on to pick 19, Los Angeles Rams. This is one that I saw something on Reddit that said that Sean McVay is really wanting to draft an offensive player because it would be his first round pick in 15 years or whatever. I don't even know if he was out of diapers in 15 years ago, but I have them taking an edge rusher, Laiatu Latu, offensive linebacker, just to get Sean McVay's offensive player in there.
Offensive linebacker.
So yeah, offensive. I have them going with edge. They're a team with plenty of needs as well, and so that's kind of what I just went with the edge guy.
All right, I think I've seen some Bo Nix ties to the Rams here. So that's always possible. Who knows what that offense is doing? But I have the Rams also going defense. I also have them taking a guy out on the edge. I have them taking a very offensive linebacker, Chop Robinson, which is a great fucking name for a guy who's on the edge. He's probably throwing some chops down on those offensive linemen. Chop Robinson, that's great branding, great marketing potential for whatever team he ends up on. Chop Robinson, I have going to the Rams at 19. Moving on to pick number 20, Josh. Pittsburgh was in 20 just a couple years ago, I remember, when they took Pickett. This time, they'll be taking a guy for the offensive line. They'll be taking J.C. Latham. I'll go with Latham. But yeah, Pittsburgh, they need to keep whoever's going to be quarterback after Kenny Pickett. Or no, they have Russell Wilson now. What am I saying? They need to keep Russell Wilson protected so they could watch him maybe have a resurgence, maybe fail spectacularly. We'll find out. But I've got J.C. Latham going to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Me too. Moving on to pick 21, I have interior offensive lineman Graham Barton. He's an interior offensive lineman. That team needs help in a lot of different places after losing everybody. But yeah, I had them shoring up the inside.
And this, I went completely off the record or not. I went complete truthiness here is what I meant to say for 21 in Miami. I'm giving them Brock Bowers. They don't need him. I don't even know if they'd want him. But it just seems like something that organization would do. It seems like almost like a Jackie Moon, let's get tropical type move. I did watch Semi-Pro recently. So I have Miami just going all offense all the time. And they're taking Brock Bowers at 21 for me. Moving on to pick 22, Josh, we're going for the Fly Eagles Fly, the Philadelphia Jalen Hurtses. I have that white lightning cornerback going here, Cooper DeJean. He is going to Philly in my mock draft at 22.
When I hear Philadelphia Eagles and I think of names, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry. It's literally no other. Yes, it's position of need. They need a corner. Yes, he's probably the next best available as far as the tiered or the rankings go. But it's as if if fate said Kool-Aid, Philadelphia consumes more of you than any other city in the National Football League. You're going to Philly. Next up, Minnesota on the clock again, having ignored their quarterback in the first, or with their first pick, I have them. Oh my gosh, my computer fell asleep, and I don't even remember. Oh yeah, it's Michael Penix. I have them taking Michael Penix. Yes, he had injury concerns, but no, he's no. It's been 2 years of full-time play. Is he the ideal quarterback for Minnesota? Probably not, but he's a playmaker. He can run real, real fast. So I think that would open up a lot more opportunity for other things to happen on that offense. I'm sure Kevin O'Connell would love to work with something like that as opposed to a Bo Nix, who is considered a check down Charlie, which is just an awful, awful thing to be kind of labeled as before getting drafted. But yeah, so Michael Penix at 23 to Minnesota. I don't think that that's a bad pick. I don't think that it's a reach at that point because he is considered a first round talent and that gets somebody on their roster that can throw a ball that's not Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I appreciate the Michael Penix pick just because, I mean, pretty much everyone, you know, I've got a lot of Vikings football friends, and they've all kind of asked me, you know, who do you think, you know, what are the Vikings going to do, this or that? And I've kind of given my heart answer and my real answer. And I always say, like, if someone held the gun to my head and they were like, all right, you wake up Friday morning, who is the Vikings quarterback, no matter how the draft shakes out? I've kind of always said Michael Penix. It just kind of seems like how things are going to go. Obviously, that's not how I mock things out, but I think Michael Penix to Minnesota is very likely. And so if we get him at 23, that'd be great. Some people speculate we'd have to take him sooner. Who knows? But I think that's a very realistic team to QB marriage there. I have the Vikings taking a guard instead because in my mock draft, we took J.J. McCarthy at 11. Of course, we have defensive needs, but cornerbacks are kind of picked over at this point, and no one can get close to that Byron Murphy draft grade. So I have us taking a guard, shoring up that O-line. We've got Darrisaw and O'Neal. Those are our two best linemen on the outside. We need to start shoring up that inside. So I have Graham Barton going 23 to Minnesota. Moving on to the Dallas Cowboys, who are all in this year, Josh. At pick 24, I have them taking Amarius Mims, offensive tackle. What about you?
Me too. They're all in, just losing the first round again.
Nice.
Moving on to Green Bay, we have odds on favorite to win the Super Bowl this next year. Green Bay Packers, they lost David Bakhtiari. And so they're going to pick up an offensive tackle by the name of Tyler Guyton. For those of you who don't know, the Green Bay Packers have a general manager that only looks at one thing when it comes to drafting in the first round, and that is the relative athletic score. And
Rass.
Tyler Guyton scored a 9.62 out of a possible 10, which is one of the higher numbers for an offensive tackle in this year's draft class. It's a position of need. Tyler Guyton, welcome to Green Bay.
It's definitely possible. Of course, I put in the team needs myself into the spreadsheet, and I saw that they needed a tackle. But you know how my mock fell out, and I think yours is similar. It's like there's already been at this point in my mock, there's already been six offensive tackles off the board. So Rass scores be damned. I'm like, well, the Packers, although they've gotten sexier recently, I will admit the Packers have gotten a little bit sexier with how they do free agency and drafting. They're still the Packers. You know, the personnel making these decisions have not changed. This will be the first linebacker off the board. The linebacker is a position of need, according to the internet. I have them taking Edgerrin Cooper. He's, again, the one and only linebacker with the first round grade, I believe. And they need a linebacker. It's not sexy, but that's a team that's trying to do things, quote unquote, the right way. So I have them taking Edgerrin Cooper. Josh, if that's who they picked, how would you feel about it?
I don't care.
All right.
Welcome to Green Bay, Edgerrin Cooper.
Moving on to 26, Tampa Bay. I have them taking that cornerback. This is a team with a lot of needs, but they're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they need to make that defense a little bit better. I have them taking Kool-Aid, who went a little bit earlier for you. Kool-Aid McChristy, welcome to Tampa Bay.
I agree that they are going to go with the defensive side of the ball. They do have more needs on that side. I have them taking Chop, Chop, Chop Robinson. Asher used to think I thought this was gonna be Asher's favorite player because Asher would walk around the house doing karate chops and going chop chop, and so I figured Chop Robinson was just a guaranteed favorite player of his, offensive linebacker.
So after the draft, no matter what team he goes to, are you gonna buy Asher a Chop Robinson jersey?
No.
All right,
moving on to Arizona, their second pick of the draft. I have them taking somebody by the name of Jersey Newton, Jerzon Newton, mainly because of the name. There was an I saw the apostrophe, and I was like, "Yep, there you go."
Yeah, it's a cool name. We both agreed on this pick some way somehow. We both have them taking Jerzon Newton, defensive tackle. that's what the Cardinals are going to do, I guess. Moving on to the Buffalo Bills. Most people, I think, are mocking them a receiver at this point, especially after Diggs is gone. I've definitely seen them, a couple different names linked to them. I personally have them taking Adonai Mitchell, just based on how my draft board fell out. I was also referring to like an overall prospects list. That was the best receiver on the board at the time. I have them taking Adonai Mitchell. Josh, what do you have Buffalo doing?
I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr., who sounds more like an accountant than a wide receiver, but he is a very fast human being. And so they lost Gabe Davis as well. And so who is their wide receiver at this point? Oh, yeah, that's right. It is nobody. So I have them taking Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver. Flip it around. Going to Detroit, I've got somebody who's going to compliment their sun god. I have them taking Xavier Worthy, another speedster. So we're seeing a little bit of a run of the wideouts now. Gar, who do you have Detroit taking?
I also have them taking Xavier Worthy. That's been a name I've seen creeping up into the end of the first round here. Apparently, he's a real speedy guy. I won't pretend to know a lot about him because I haven't had to pay that much attention, but I had them also going receiver. I think the Jameson Williams experiment is just about over, and they want another stud, and I think they'll take a receiver here, even if they might have other needs that might be more pressing from a security standpoint. I have them going flashy. Moving on to the pick number 30 with the Baltimore Ravens, I have them taking Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle. Josh, who do you got for the Baltimore Ravens at 30?
I had them going with Ladd McConkey, but I also noticed I don't have Adonai Mitchell picked, and so I would think that between Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell, I think they might go with Adonai Mitchell over Ladd McConkey.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can change it if you want. This is a very serious scoring system we've put in here, so you make sure you have your draft board how you want it.
I'm going to say Ladd McConkey because I like Ladd McConkey. That's what I'm going to say, Ladd McConkey.
Okay. What do you have next, Josh?
San Fran, I have them drafting Jordan Morgan. So I believe it would be the 8th offensive tackle off the board on my draft. But I just think that they have Trent Williams, but he's 95 years old. Roger Goodell is going to have to say, you know what, sir, you can't bring your walker out there to block people with. So we're going to need you to retire here soon. And so Jordan Morgan, I believe, is going to be the next best available. I think that they're going to take an offensive tackle.
Okie dokie. For me, the number one losers, the second place finishers, the number one loser, I have the San Francisco Super Bowl losers taking Ennis Rakestraw. He is a cornerback. It's a position of need, so I have them taking Ennis Rakestraw. Might be Rakestraw. I don't know. Last for the Kansas City Chiefs. I have them trading out. This is the one trade I speculated. And again, it's just because, you know, Kansas City has not traded out, I don't think, ever as the Super Bowl winner. That could be a lie. I have no idea. I just pulled that out of my ass. But it is a popular – the only time it comes to mind is I think it happened for Teddy Bridgewater. It happened for Lamar Jackson, a team trading back into the first at the very end. All right, let's go get our guy. Let's go secure that fifth-year option. So this could be a lot of players. It could be a lot of positions. I personally have, and originally I had either the Denver Broncos or the Las Vegas Raiders doing this, but I don't think Kansas City will trade in division like that. So I have the New York Giants trading back in the first round to take Michael Penix Jr. He was my 5th and final QB off the board. And so Kansas City trades to the New York Giants and takes Michael Penix Jr. Josh, what do you got the Chiefs doing to end the first round?
I had them taking an edge player, but then I was like, you know what? Rashee Rice, he's a speedster. We all know it. On and off the field. So they're going to go ahead and get another speedster in Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver. Just another toy for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. They need a wide receiver. They got rid of all their receivers. Not that you could call them that with how many drops they had, but Adonai Mitchell rounds out my first round as the 7th wide receiver off the board, because why not?
I feel it. I love it. And so Josh, that ends our mock. I think we've kind of, I don't know where the time went. I think we've both have realized we've sat here longer than we probably planned to. So just a couple concluding thoughts out of me. I probably meant to say this before the mock started, but I mean, people get very excited. Obviously draft season, there's a lot of hype. we're going to be, this first round's going to be 50-50 people at best. And I think, you know, if there's, you know, the top six QBs, probably four or five of them are going to be busts. Now, obviously, it depends on how you define busts and this and that. But the draft is a crapshoot. And even for the first rounders, obviously, every team's always going to expect their first round player to be that blue chip. This is our guy. We used our first round pick on him. He has to be great. That's just, unfortunately, not how the cookie crumbles at the end of the day. A lot of these players are going to be busts. So for all the fans out there, I would just say temper expectations the best you can. Don't get so hyped to then let yourself get so low later. It's nice to be excited, but just be realistic excited if you can. You know, again, going back to the quarterbacks, Vikings are going for one. There's, I'd say, a 50 to 75% chance whoever the Vikings get will bust. And that's just how it goes. And that's unfortunate and sad. Of course, we have to try. Of course, you have to take the chance. I'm not saying the Vikings should not take a quarterback because the bust rate is high for any position. But let's just not set ourselves up for failure, people. It's exciting, but let's just not go crazy with it is all I have to say. We weren't going to talk about the Dynasty draft, Josh, because I don't know. We never really give out much anyways, and I have not paid attention at all because I'm not even tanking any of my leagues anymore, so I don't have that many draft picks. And, you know,
could have fooled me.
Fuck you. And the BSB might be dead. I don't know. Eric's has been MIA pretty much for quite some time, so who knows. Anyways, Josh, I love you so much. Unless there's anything you want to say, which I doubt there is, we will go ahead and just get the hell out of here. I appreciate you sitting here chatting. To Al and to Walters and to anyone else listening, if you would like to play along in the draft, let us know. Josh can send us out, can send you out the spreadsheet. It's very simple. But if you'd like to get scored up against us draft experts, as we're really the only good football podcast left, the last football podcast standing. If you'd like to play along with us, just let us know, and you can see how you stack up against the perfect hosts. So,
wait, did Jax crumble again?
I have no idea. I haven't listened in a while, if I'm being honest. But I guess
Minnesota's
that is still
up seven.
Ooh, are they? The basketball blitz? Shout out to the Timberwolves, dude. Anyways, we appreciate everyone so much for listening. If you'd like to play along in the little draft challenge, I'm hoping the scoring system is somewhat good, and then we, you know, expand it next year to maybe a little, you know, play for cash prize or something, just to make things a little extra spicy. Life's better with money on the line. Josh, go ahead and hit your Go Packers, and then we will get the hell out of here. Unless there's anything else you'd like to say, I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, just Go Packers. Go Packers. Go Packers.
Right. Bye, everybody. Love you.
McConkey.
That's a good one. That's a good pick.